with Christy Marie and Julie, and it's our favorite part of the week.
Hi, Julie.
Where you and I get just to talk to each other.
I know. I just felt really grateful tonight. I mean, I love that song. I think it's so awesome. I just wanted to, if it was me, I'd just let it play on through, you know. Mm-hmm. So I love that song. I love the title of our show tonight.
What is the title of our show tonight?
I'm with a girlfriend.
Okay. Oh, I thought you were saying different. What is this tonight?
Life of the Girlfriend, episode 5,240.
We're just having a good time tonight.
Yeah.
We're having some fun.
Yeah, because we feel like, is anybody going to be listening to us because of the Academy Awards tonight?
No.
I just don't know.
Maybe.
I don't know.
That would be awesome.
Yeah, wouldn't it be like, oh, Academy Awards, I don't want that.
Life of the Girlfriend.
I'm going to go listen to Life of the Girlfriends with Christy, Marie, and Julie.
Exactly.
Are those two girls that wrote the book,
The Clutterfly Effect,
Tweak Your Way to Total Transformation by Decluttering Your Life.
Yeah, not those girls.
Those girls. Was it a number one bestseller on Amazon? It was for several months. And you can still get it there.
And not only that, you're having a new book coming out.
New book coming out February 24th, Unwavering Strength. I am one of the authors.
Hey, nothing wrong with that.
It should go bestseller status, international bestseller status.
I'm going to buy enough to make it there.
Yeah. And if you listen to our show last week, you will hear me talk about my story in the Unwavering Strength book that comes out February 24th.
Yay!
Just go over the archives and
exactly,
because there's no need to repeat it. Blah, 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 good story, called The Kiss.
Blah, 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 loves her daughter. Blah, blah, blah.
Yeah.
Reese came in. Oh, the one thing I didn't say about it, here's a little caveat about the story.
Mm-hmm.
So the story goes, and there's a, you know, you're in a hospital, prominent, a priest comes in and talks to you about your life and changing your life and all that stuff. And it's all about, I'm not going to go into the story, but it's a pretty moving story. Now, the whole funny part about this is that literally, my whole life, I thought the priest was a ghost.
Oh, I know. I know. I mean, I guess when we did this story, not quite a year ago or whatever, but, and you went, and this is, you're telling this story because it's a ghost story, right? And I went,
no,
what?
Not a ghost story.
A ghost story. And you went, yeah, this priest was a ghost, right? No. Anyway, Mama, all these years, Mama, all these years, I thought was a ghost.
I thought this priest had passed on because in the story, not to give the story away, because the story is only 3,000 words long, and so, you know, you can get to the story without in one sitting without going, she told me the end of the story.
You can go to the bathroom,
yes,
sit in the pot, lock the door, and read that story. And
well,
still have time to look at the TV guide or something. You
know? Oh, you are showing your age. Oh, my.
And still look on your computer at the TV guide channel. Okay,
exactly.
How's that?
There you go. But it was so interesting because when you told the story, finally when I got it, the reason why I thought the priest was a ghost was because you talk about how this priest would show up in your room. And he was an old priest And one day he never showed up again.
Mm-hmm.
And you were having these deep, long conversations, almost like with, you know, Tuesdays with Maury kind of things.
Oh,
you know?
Right.
And so then one day he never shows up, and you ask the nurse, where is he? Where is Father Monahan or whatever his name was?
Mm-hmm.
And they're like, where's the chaplain there? I think
right.
he asked.
Right.
No, we don't have one working here, you know? And then finally they go, oh, that must be Father so-and-so. He passed away.
Oh, Julie, thank you for not really telling the story. thank you for not giving it away.
But that's why.
Ba-dum-bum. You know, the ba-dum-bum.
But that's why I thought it was a ghost.
Because he passed away. That's not the chaplain. That's Father Rotterman. He was a patient here, and he passed away last night.
Right, I missed that part.
That's the part you've missed, okay.
My whole life.
Your whole life, okay.
I know this story, but I swear to you, Mom,
okay.
In some ways, though, and I don't mind sharing this conversation with you now, in some ways, my childhood has been less magical knowing the truth.
Oh, really?
Yes, I swear to you. And so it's still a very wonderful story.
Yeah, yeah.
A very, like I said, a very Tuesday with Maury kind of story.
Mm-hmm. Which I never read that book.
I never did.
But you saw the movie, probably.
I didn't see the movie.
Oh.
I get the gifs.
Mm-hmm.
You know,
mm-hmm.
older man passing on his
so
wisdom.
So your childhood is not magical anymore.
Not as magical.
Is it because you think less of me because I just don't have access to ghosts anymore? Or?
No, you have access to ghosts. I know this about you.
Yes, you do.
So, I mean, that's not it. It's just that this priest who had such an effect over you
mm-hmm.
that gave you permission to be a better parent
mm-hmm.
than who you were, who you saw
mm-hmm.
growing up.
Mm-hmm.
And who blessed you? I don't know. I just
anyway, people, buy the book on
yes.
February 24th and decide for yourself
exactly
if it's a ghost or not.
Exactly.
And you know what I'm going to do if you buy the book? Let's this week because it comes out this week. Let's go ahead and tape the audio of it. And if they buy the book, I'll give them the audio of my story.
Oh, of your story? Yes.
Yes. Not of the book.
I don't know if you could do that or not. Maybe you could.
Oh, you don't think I can?
You can do
legally?
Of your story. Of your
legally?
Story, yes.
Yeah.
Of the whole book, no.
Right. I think I can do that.
Yeah.
Definitely.
I'd like
to see them stop me.
You would just email us at talktous@christymarieandjulie.com.
Yes. Right.
I bought your book.
Right.
Can you send me the audio? And I'll tell
yeah.
you what, we'll send you the audio of our Clutterfly Effect book.
Oh.
Anything with that. Too much?
And that? Are you saying one or the other?
One or the other. What do
oh.
you think? No, just, you know what? Change of mind. Change of mind.
Mm-hmm.
Off the phone. We're just going to do your story.
Yes.
That's exactly right.
That sounds good.
Yeah. At talktous@christymarieandjulie.com.
Yeah. Oh, so you're saying you're saying you'd give away the Clutterfly Effect book.
The audio, yes.
That is so generous of you.
I think maybe we won't. We'll see.
You know what? Let's see. Let's
okay.
see who emails us.
Well, so I want to talk about a little bit about tonight. We're gonna hit on the Academy Awards a little bit because that's going on right now. And
did it start at 7 our time?
Yes, it did.
Mm-hmm.
And I want to talk about just a little bit about that. And I also want to talk about tonight really about this idea of following your feelings.
Mm-hmm.
Being coaches and being law of attraction coaches.
Mm-hmm. And being a therapist for
and
me.
And being a therapist for you.
That's different. I find
it
that
is.
Different terrain, you know, having, you know, been classically trained as a psychotherapist and then, you know, being trained as a coach. It has two different aspects, a couple different dimensions, but we can talk about that.
And it's just, it really is interesting because I want to talk about how we follow our feelings, how important our feelings are,
mm-hmm.
and yet are they? Are they tricksters?
Mm-hmm.
I heard Joyce Meyer talk a little bit about this the other day, and you know Abraham Hicks, who really in some ways opened my eyes to me being more in control of my feelings.
Mm-hmm.
That, yes, you can have a feeling, and then you can choose to feel a better thought.
Mm-hmm.
Feel a better feeling by thinking a better thought.
Yes.
And that was eye-opening, because before that, maybe because you are a psychotherapist, it's always been about, what are you feeling? Get in touch with your feelings right now.
Mm-hmm.
And that would open up to a conversation of what may be going on.
Mm-hmm.
And then, so I want to talk a little bit about feelings
mm-hmm.
and how we can look at them differently, all in the idea that we just want to have more improvements in our life, right?
Mm-hmm.
We want to feel better.
We all want to feel better, right?
Yeah. So I want to talk about that.
You know, you think about that you were given this life, right?
Mm-hmm.
And it's a gift.
Yes.
And you choose life or you choose death, you know?
Yeah.
And you want to make better choices.
Yeah.
And you always want to go toward greater and greater life.
Yeah.
And so choosing better and better feelings is part of that.
Yes, it is. And so I want to talk about the Academy Awards, but I also want to talk about Saturday Night Live. They had their 40th anniversary.
Oh, my gosh. I was riveted for 3 hours. I loved it. I felt like my life.
Yes.
Do you know what I mean?
I totally...
Going, scanning those 40 years
yeah.
and... you know, seeing a young, oh my gosh, what was her name? Candace Bergen.
Yes.
You know, and seeing these, and, you know, and then who, you know, who aged like, I'll tell you who I thought aged the most was Chevy Chase.
Well, it's interesting you said Chevy Chase because...
What did you think?
I did, but what he looked like, I mean, he was just on Parks and, not Parks and Recreation, but The Community not too long ago.
Right, right.
And he looked, did better or different. He looks right now like he's going through something.
Mm-hmm.
Like he just, he looks swollen in his throat and in his, like he's going through something.
Mm.
Because certainly it was interesting seeing everybody get get older.
You okay, girlfriend?
Yeah, you know me. I got this tickle in my throat. I don't know what it's about. But it's, you see people who fight it with a lot of plastic surgery and doesn't necessarily look good. And then you see it looking decent, like normal, like, oh, you look beautiful, like yourself.
Like, you know, Dan Aykroyd.
I thought he looked great.
I thought he looked
good. Dan Curtin. Curtin?
Yeah. Again, yeah, looked good.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And
But, I mean, Dan Aykroyd, I mean, here's an older man.
Yeah.
And, you know, but looked like he fared well.
Yeah.
You know, same
he
thing I thought
like
with
himself.
Eddie Murphy.
Yeah. He looked like himself.
Yeah.
That's what I like. And, you know, here's Betty White. In 90, is she?
Yeah, maybe more.
And I think she's beautiful.
Yes.
I think she looks...
What a spirit, right?
Yeah, and she's like herself. She just looks like herself.
Mm-hmm.
I think that's what I'm always going for, because so many times, not to be judgy, but because we can do so much with our our faces now, with adding the cheekbones or the cheek stuff to give us that apple look, right? Or or the profile with a higher cheekbone and having, I mean, there's so much we can do now that it tends to make us look no longer real.
And also they tend to, not that this is, again, like I said, not judging, but like, for example, you know, Joan Rivers, when you see those kind of faces without makeup, you realize the surgeon, the plastic surgeon, is really like an artist who's creating this this backdrop for this palette.
Yes,
it means it doesn't necessarily look great unless it has the full out makeup job.
Right,
and then you're like, oh, I see why, you know, I see why we had the high cheekbones, and
yes.
I see this because it's sort of meant to be the, you know, the full-on 24/7 makeup job, you know. Am I saying that
yes,
right?
Yes, you are.
Okay, good.
You definitely are. And so, but it was overall, I mean, I can get that. It's a palette. But so overall, I thought it was interesting seeing people age that 40 years. And I look at myself, I'm going, oh, my God, you know, I'm aging too.
You were a baby when it started.
I definitely was.
Isn't that amazing?
It was. It's amazing how time.
I think about how some of the talent. Oh my God! You know who I love right now is Kristen Wiig,
or is it? Oh, she's everywhere.
Is she?
Yes.
But I think she's so funny and willing to be funny.
Yeah.
You know, like Amy Poehler is another one.
Right.
You know, even though these are pretty women, they are willing to sacrifice, you know, that part of them to be for
funny.
The comedy.
Exactly.
Come on, that's kind of cool.
It's more than cool.
Yeah.
It's awesome.
Yeah.
And Kristen Wiig especially, well, Amy Poehler as well, I mean, they're so well-run of talents that you just go, wow, this is amazing how creative people are and so forth. But I'll give it a B+. I think it was an A. It was too long.
I said it was too long. Well, you know, the one of the, they did the, Justin Timberlake was there and did the, they, you know, did the Dick in the Box thing.
Yes.
And, you know, I mean, we were, Julie, two Christmases ago or three Christmases ago, we were the stars of our talent show.
Yes.
Because you and I did the Dick in the Box.
And then we brought the house down.
Oh, we bought the house down.
Yes.
Girl, we bought the house down.
Are you saying bought the house down?
What am I saying?
Is it brought the house down?
Yeah.
Okay.
What do you want to say?
I thought you said bought the house down.
Oh, no, no.
I go, yes, we brought the house down. We did, and you had it. We wore beards and dressed up. It was awesome.
We had the aviator Ray-Bans.
Yes,
on.
And everybody was laughing.
Had the big box with the bow. Oh, my God. And really, I mean, I saw people, you know, like holding their, you know, was to stop them from peeing their pants.
No.
That's how fast, that's how funny we were.
It was hysterical. Okay. And you know, it's so funny, though, but I think most people can really base their life
mm-hmm.
on what was going on in Saturday Night Live.
Isn't that true?
Even though we none of us saw all the episodes. I mean, it's not like it was getting rave ratings all the time.
Mm-mm.
And with the internet, these magical moments went viral. And mm-hmm. so we all had the same experiences mm-hmm. in these moments.
Mm-hmm.
And it really is, I think we should say, 40 years is a long time for one show to be on.
Yeah.
But and have this rotating cast.
Mm-hmm. And kind of like Menudo.
Mm-hmm. It's kind of like Menudo. Exactly.
Jane, you ignorant slut.
So, Christine Marie, you ignorant slut. I do believe that we used to say that when we were kids.
I know. Or like, what was the Steve Martin one?
Kind of crazy guy.
Or, yeah, you're a wild and crazy guy. Oh, yeah, we had all of them.
We had all of them. You know, we did the King Tut song.
Mm-hmm.
It was great.
Mm-hmm.
And even though some years were better than others,
mm-hmm.
it was such an enjoyable time to mm-hmm. watch this show
mm-hmm.
and see the last 40 years.
You know, did you, when the Blues Brothers came out mm-hmm. with Dan Aykroyd, and who was the other one? Was it John Goodman?
No, it was Jim Belushi.
Was it?
Yeah.
Oh, you sure?
Not John, you know, the one, his brother, right?
Yeah, are you sure?
Yeah, 100%.
Oh, okay.
100%.
I thought it might have been John Goodman.
No. I don't think it was.
I'm
100%
really?
Sure.
Are you 100%?
I just saw it today.
Okay.
So, yeah, I'm 100% sure.
See, now, if this was a call-in show, people would be calling in right now going, Julie, you're wrong. It really was John Goodman.
It wasn't, though, Mom. Trust me.
Okay, I'm trusting you. Because I wondered the night that I saw it, was it John
yeah.
Goodman?
He was in the cast or in the audience, but
mm-hmm.
he just spoke for a little bit mm-hmm. during the Jerry Seinfeld episode.
Oh, that which was good. I liked that.
Yeah. All right, so moving on.
Okay, are we going to talk about SNL?
I don't know. I think I'm done talking.
I thought
SNL.
It was funny though.
Yeah.
They just real quickly because who we didn't really. I got just a little bit of insight into Lorne Michaels.
Yes. Oh,
and
you did? Okay.
Yeah, because I never really, I really didn't think too much of him.
Mm-hmm.
But the way they described him, it was really funny because they said you would go to him after a skit and he'd say, and you'd go, hey, look, they laughed. And he'd say, yes, they laughed, but was it the right kind of laugh? You know, so there was always this, you know, kind of like a nun, I think. You know, you're good. But you're never good enough, you know?
Oh, interesting.
Yeah.
So that was his persona in some sense.
Yes, that's what
and,
they kind of, you know,
and were we
inferred.
Were they all trying to get his approval all the time?
Possibly.
Now, I know there was a couple of years in there that he wasn't producing the show.
Yeah, that's what they said. It was like 3 to 4 or 5 years. And during that time, he made a movie called, I don't know, I can't remember now. But he made a movie.
Oh, and how'd it go?
With some of the cast.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, well, I guess I would say it was unforgettable or forgettable.
Forgettable.
<I don't> Yes. What the heck was that movie?
Well, when Jane Curtin said, we've had 11 movies made through Saturday Night Live characters,
mm-hmm.
equaling 22 thumbs down.
And like MacGruber.
Oh, my God. That was a bad movie. There were a lot of bad movies.
Yes.
But they were fun. And they probably made them their money, you know.
Mm-hmm.
I guess the whole thing, because I think the most awkward situation was when Chris Rock came out and introduced
Eddie Murphy.
Thank you. And I thought it was nice. I did think people were talking about how it just seemed awkward, like, why didn't he do a skit, or why wasn't he funny?
Well, I think a lot of these guys, they just said, please just show up. You don't have to do
yeah.
anything. I mean, Jack Nicholson, he didn't say anything of any real value, and neither did Eddie Murphy. Like, hey, I'm here. Thanks for, you know, whatever.
Right.
You're right. I would call that awkward. But I was just glad to see him, you know.
I was, too. I mean, they said, like, his movies totally have made over $8 billion.
Yeah.
That's pretty awesome.
That's pretty awesome.
You know? That's awesome. And
when he was hot, oh, man, he was hot, you know?
I mean, think about it. He was, he produced songs, too. I mean,
mm-hmm.
he sang. He did everything,
mm-hmm.
right?
Mm-hmm.
And
yeah,
now he can do whatever he wants, I guess.
Maybe, they were no Starsky and Hutch, but yeah.
Starsky, no, they weren't Starsky and Hutch.
I mean, that was my, they produced some songs, Starsky, in that era.
They did?
Mm-hmm. I think so. You know, they gave, they were showing, I think, people that had died, you know, and
yeah.
one of the pictures was of Dick Ebersol.
Yeah.
Now, I don't remember if he was a character or if he was a producer or whatever, but he was married to, and I couldn't think of her name, but do you remember when Jane Curtin and this woman had a show where they were two single moms?
Yeah.
And also, she was...
Allie and Allie or something like that? Kate and Allie?
Kate and Allie, yeah. Mm-hmm. And also, she was Rock Hudson's wife and Macmillan and wife.
Yeah, okay.
Do you know who this was? Suzanne somebody?
Or? Yeah, I know who you're talking about,
Suzanne.
But I don't know. Yeah.
Yeah, well, that. But she was married to him. And
okay.
And he, I think it was he and his son were
right.
in a private plane and it crashed.
That's right.
Now, I'm not sure if both the son and the father died, but... But I remember that, you know, when I saw him, when his face
oh, my gosh, yeah. That's interesting. I wonder if they met through her then.
Yeah, that's what I was wondering, because there's, you know, the Jane Curtin, the Dick Ebersol.
Yeah.
Yeah, exactly.
Very interesting. Well, when you hear these stories about people connecting, it's interesting. They say that every third person you meet, if you talk to them, you could find a direct correlation to you. Like, you know someone they know exactly.
Mm-hmm. And sort of like 6 degrees
sort
of separation.
Sort of like 6 degrees, but I'm making it 3 degrees.
You're making it 3 degrees. Okay. So, let me see.
With Facebook, someone you know is a friend of someone else on Facebook.
Yeah, exactly.
So, what would you give the tonight's or the Saturday Night Live?
You know what? I enjoyed it. It was, for me, it was a quick 3 hours. I'm hearing a little bit different from you.
Mm-hmm.
But because it was so... It was my past.
Yes.
You know, I mean, it that's the crazy part.
Yeah.
You know, it's like you remember the 70s. And cause like, and I can remember watching Dan Aykroyd do the fish in the blender thing.
Yes.
But to see him do it now, I had to turn my head. I was like, oh, my God, I don't want to see, even though the fish was dead, I don't want to see it, you know, it being destroyed like that.
Yes.
I mean, so, you know, it just showed the snapshot, you know, of
yeah,
your life.
Exactly. So the snapshot of your life, exactly.
Yeah.
That's, I think, it's a good thing.
Things, you know, different hairstyles.
Oh,
and
yeah.
Clothes.
Exactly, yeah. For sure.
Like, I used to think that Molly Shannon, you know, like, and then I put my hands under my armpits, and then I smell them, you know. And, like, I used to think that was cute, you know. I'm like, okay. I wasn't thrilled by that.
Funny.
This time.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah. So I've evolved, darling. I've evolved.
There you go.
Mm-hmm.
And some things held up and some things didn't.
Mm-hmm.
The one that I didn't get was the Californians.
OMG.
Did you get that?
I loved it.
Did you really?
I adored it.
Oh.
I wished it was, I don't know if I got it or not, but I loved it.
Yeah, yeah.
Oh, wow.
Well,
you
yeah,
have to go down Highway 72.
Yeah.
And you go down the coastal highway.
Yeah.
And then to La Puglia. I just, oh my God, I just thought that had to be hysterical.
Well, and the mother was played by that Saturday Night Live character.
Yes.
What was her name?
Was it Lorraine Newman?
Yes, Lorraine Newman.
Yeah. Who looks
different.
Fabulous.
Yeah, exactly. But I thought she looked different to me.
She looks different, but she looks fabulous.
Oh, yes.
She must, you know, I mean, she must just like, wow. You know, I mean, she does look fabulous.
She's got to be her 60s, right?
Mm, I don't know.
Yeah,
I really
maybe
don't
I'm
know,
wrong.
But she looks fabulous. And I thought Bradley Cooper looked cute.
Oh, for sure. For sure. Isn't that interesting?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, it was a great, that episode I just didn't get, though, as much. I'm just like, I don't see
was there, was like three or four of them, right? They kind of all went in a row.
Yes.
Yeah, okay.
Yes, exactly. It was a very long skit.
Mm-hmm.
So, well, good. I'm glad you enjoyed it.
Mm-hmm, I did, honey.
You know, that's awesome. So, anyway, I have a, I'm calling this, when you open your sins up, you confess. I'm calling this confession right now.
Mm-hmm.
That I need your help with. My point where I became a moral ostrich. And I'm still struggling with this. And I'm hoping that you can kind of figure out a way that I can feel better about this scenario.
Okay.
So I was taking Elliot out. You were with me, and we talked about it briefly, but not very long.
Right.
But it's been still weighing on my soul a little bit.
Yeah.
So I took Elliot out for a walk.
Yeah, we went to the dog park.
Dog park.
Yeah. Where you get trapped.
Where
like
I got
rat.
Trapped. Yes. And I'm there, and there's two people there walking their dogs, and one's really friendly with my dog, and this other woman is like, oh, it's a rescue dog that I have, and it looks like a pit bull.
Mm-hmm.
And he goes, oh, it's just not been easy. She's 2 years old, and mm-hmm. she's just a handful. And I can't get her to calm down or listen or do anything. And I'm like, oh, I'm sorry. She goes, oh, he goes, and what's your dog? I go, it's a Wheaton Terrier. So he's a puppy right now, and it's been a crazy household. And
oh, yeah.
And she goes, oh, but that's a good dog, though. He'll be a good dog.
Oh, well, he's a pooper.
Yeah.
He's a peer. He's a nipper. He's a biter. And he'll go outside to do business, but he actually doesn't. He's
no.
got passive-aggressive. He comes in the house, and that's the first thing he does.
I don't get it, but yes, that's exactly what's going on in our household
exactly
right now.
Goes, yes.
And I'm embarrassed to say it because he's 5 months old now.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm like, we should have worked this out by now. But it has been a horrible winter.
It's been, with like 4 feet of snow on the ground.
Yeah, and he's like, screw this, I'm not doing that.
How do I poo with snow all around my butt?
I know, I can't. It's impossible.
Yeah.
Screw you guys.
Yeah.
So, and I've talked to the vet, and they're like, no, don't, it's okay.
Mm-hmm.
I go, should I push his nose into it yet? And he goes, no, don't do anything like
no.
that.
No. And then we bought those like white pads that they're supposed to,
Yeah.
And he just runs through the house with it like it's a white flag.
Yeah, like, hey, look at me! I tore this pad up.
Like, look at this! I'm doing the surrender for the white flag, and it just looks like that. It's how fast he runs.
He's a fast runner,
and he just loves to fling himself.
Yes,
unabashedly and abandoned.
He's a crazy dog. Like today, I turned around, and for whatever reason, he was standing on the glass table.
Yeah. Just like, look at me, people.
I'm so tired with my cough at night. I don't know what's going on.
Do you need some water or something?
No, I've got water. I've had a cough drop.
Okay. Well, go ahead and finish your story with the lady, because I know where this is going to go.
My moral ostrich. So I'm confessing this because I still feel bad, and if anybody goes through the situation, don't, because it's going to eat you up.
Mm-hmm.
And so here it was. So I'm talking to this woman, and she's struggling with a dog, but she's, comes across very nice and polite. So I turn around, and I walk my dog into the park, into the running area, and she's walking in the other direction. And I hear something, but I don't turn my head. And she had one of these balls that is attached to a long rope, that you would throw it, and the rope to chew on and stuff like that for the dog.
Yeah, it's about 2 feet long,
yeah.
And then you just, if you pick it up and then you throw it,
right.
And
it sounds like she's hitting the dog with this rope. That's what it sounds like. The dog's not making any noise.
And that's not a rope, though. It's an actual, a plastic thing, isn't it?
I don't know.
You thought it was a rope?
Like what Elliot has, the heavy-duty rope thing. I could be wrong. It could be plastic.
Mm-hmm.
But I thought she was hitting the dog with it or making some kind of noise that sounded like she could have hit the dog
mm-hmm.
with it.
Yeah.
And I chose not to turn around.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm like, well, she probably's not doing that. But if I turn my head and she is doing it, I'm going to have to address it. But at this moment.
So in that moment, you said to yourself,
don't turn around.
Don't turn around, because if I do, I will have to do something about this.
Yes. And I'm like, that is such a creepy thing to do.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, literally, I feel so creeped out that I did that.
Well, you played moral ostrich. And I was doing some texting, and I was in the van waiting for you.
Yes.
And I saw this happen. So, and she, I knew that by the other, like you said, the other guy, he left. And so it was just her car in the lot and ours. And I saw it happen more than once. And as she's walking toward her car, I'm like, do I say something?
Right.
You know, I could say, hey, ma'am, you know, you have a very lovely dog there. You do not have to, you know, we just talked to our vet and, you know, they don't believe anymore in, what do you want to call it, corporal punishment or
right.
whatever. And I went through this whole thing in my mind, you know.
Yeah, oh, interesting, yeah.
And I didn't say anything either when she,
how
you know,
do you feel about that?
I don't feel good.
Yeah.
I don't feel good either. I said in my mind, I thought, she looked like she was on her last nerve.
Yeah.
So, you know, I thought, well, what is my saying something? You know, I sort of did that thing. Is it going to change her behavior?
Right.
Does she need somebody, you know, at this moment in time where she's just on her, you know, her jaw is clenched and,
right.
you know, and I didn't think the dog was acting bad. That was the weird thing.
Right.
I didn't see any bad behavior. It just looked like she was taking all her anger on this dog. And then when you came back, I said, did you see this woman, you know, beating this dog? And he said, no, I purposely didn't look. You know?
Right.
And then you told me that this was a rescue dog, and oh, my heart just like, oh, my God. Going from one bad situation
to another
in my mind to another, you know. And that's another issue. You always think, oh, there's so many rescue dogs, you know, but they do have major ass problems, you know.
Right.
Unlike, we just watched John Wick last night, you know. That
yeah.
movie with Keanu
yeah.
Reeves. At the very end, you know, he's at this dog pound, and he looks and it says, this little dog is to expire tomorrow.
Right,
you know?
Right. And he rescues it.
And he breaks open the lock, and he rescues it.
Not today.
Not today, you won't.
Exactly. Well, you know,
But it, morally, Julia, it really is a tough decision. And
well, it's tough because I chose to be a coward. I was a moral coward.
So, because even if you knew that she was continuing on to do what she was going to do, you would have felt okay if you had said something to her, like I did my part.
I don't
part
know.
In the
I
thing.
Guess. I mean, here's the thing, though, too.
See, I think getting her license plate number and then reporting her, I mean, that would have really been doing something.
I guess
truthfully.
So.
But you don't know. I mean, it could have just been a bad day. I mean.
Right.
You know,
right?
I don't really know the answer to this one.
I don't either. I mean, the truth is, I do believe people have just bad days.
Mm-hmm.
And I, with a puppy, I know that there have been a couple times where I've, you know,
mm-hmm.
Elliot, I'm like, you're lucky that I have self control because I'm tired of my feet being bitten.
Mm-hmm.
And
I'm sure you're tired of saying no, not that. Like we don't understand how he finds the most. Like, did you know that yesterday he found a razor?
Yes, he found another one. Okay.
No, oh no, that was you then with me.
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah, you're like, you know, picking up everything, and how does he find
a razor?
I
know.
Or like, I was in the process of taking some Excedrin, and I don't know how I had dropped one or whatever, but he found that Excedrin. Luckily. You know, I don't know what would have happened if you would have, you know, got a hold of it.
I don't know either. Hopefully nothing, but
yeah.
You don't know.
Yeah, what are some of the other things that he just...
I mean,
he loves...
Sudafed.
What?
Sudafed.
A little red... Yeah. Oh, man.
I mean, just everything.
Yeah.
And I was just like, oh, for heaven's sakes.
Yeah, I don't know. You just, like, you really do have to have the patience of Job, you know.
Oh, yeah. Exactly. For a dog. And so... I'm going to say this about the woman. I'm going to pray for her. I'm going to pray
yes.
for me.
Yes.
And I'm going to say that, you know, if she gets help, she needs help,
mm-hmm.
or finds another person to take care of this dog.
Mm-hmm. If it's just too much.
If it's just too much.
Just surrender it.
But I do remember, I mean, and maybe we didn't see what we saw either, because it seems pretty brutal to do it in public. Don't you think?
Well, she didn't do it in front of you. I mean, she didn't do it when you're facing her.
No.
I noticed that.
Right.
And I don't think she saw me.
Oh, interesting.
Because
okay.
I was, you know, covered by, you know, a bank of trees and stuff.
Right, right.
So, no, I don't, I'm not sure about that, Jules.
Okay.
That, you know, because, you know, yeah, I like, again, like I said, maybe it's just a bad day.
Right.
In my mind, though, I didn't have a great thought. In my mind, after I saw all this, and I chose not to, you know, say anything as well, I said to the doggy, if you want a piece of her, honey, you go get it. I really did. I was like, you know, revenge.
Well, I hope the dog's not aggressive towards her, though.
Mm-hmm. I mean, it didn't seem like a coward. It really cowered.
You're like, what's wrong with the dog then, you know? What's wrong with him?
I didn't see any bad behavior. Did you?
No, he's a little hyper.
That's just that?
Yeah.
Oh, hello?
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 I don't know.
Oh.
Well, anyway, I'm going to ask for forgiveness.
Yes.
I'm going to be better next time.
And like you said,
not be so cowardly.
Say a prayer for her and the little doggy.
Yes. And try and move on.
Yeah. And next time, say something, I guess.
Yeah. And now, talking about that, I really need to talk about, you know, following your feelings and how to feel better about this.
Yes. Yes.
So, you know, back in the day when we were talking about following your feelings or feelings, it was so important to get in touch with how you feel about every situation.
Mm-hmm.
Because, and sometimes it was important to talk about how bad, how you felt about a certain situation.
Mm-hmm.
Because it could propel you into change.
Well, I think you're right, because we came from, I think, not being conscious of our feelings.
Okay.
I mean, I can remember my parents. I mean, all I remember is them just being highly aggravated, agitated.
Right.
You know, and they could, you know, would just flip out. I,
right.
I don't think they would. They said, you know what? I had a difficult day. This person was this, and now I'm coming home, and I'd like to take my shoes off, take a shower, go for a walk, but instead I'm just going to beat my kids because I really don't, you know what I mean? Just like, there's just this not conscious about what's going on.
Right.
That's where I think we came from.
Right.
To where it was like, oh, you got to talk about your feelings.
Yeah. Right. So, yeah, it was definitely a push-me-pull-me to the other side in some sense.
Mm-hmm.
To, like, we weren't talking about our feelings, now we must talk about our feelings.
Mm-hmm.
And now we're to the point where it's about, we're able to choose, I'm so sorry, choose how we feel. Once we know what our feeling is,
mm-hmm.
it's our job to choose better.
Mm-hmm.
And
that's a wonderful thought, because it requires a couple of things. It requires you to say, where am I feeling now? And to address a whole range of emotions,
right.
You know, feelings, and to get more accurate, you know, like I heard you say today, well, I'm sort of depressed today. I'm sort
yes.
of bummed out today.
Yes.
So, okay, well, they're bummed out, you know, is a little bit different than being depressed. You know, or another one might be sad.
Right.
Or I feel empty.
Right, hopeless.
Another one might be overwhelmed.
Right.
You know, so it. I think that is so good to for people to be able to identify very, kind of come in on a focus
right.
and do that. Go ahead and then go ahead and you want to talk about once you get to that,
right.
how you can go ahead.
Choose to have a better thought, which leads to a better feeling. So the truth is, where in the past we perpetually talk about how bad we felt, that would get us motivated to have to change.
Mm-hmm.
Now we're to the point where everything starts with our feelings.
Mm-hmm.
How wherever you're feeling, which is controlled by a thought in some sense, where
yes.
you know,
yes.
you can then, okay, figure out what you're feeling,
mm-hmm.
the thoughts behind if you want to, or immediately start choosing a better thought,
mm-hmm.
a thought that's more life, like you say,
mm-hmm.
pick life or death. Each time you do, it leads you someplace else.
Right. So basically, this idea of being responsible,
yeah.
You know, sort of watching your feelings requires us to be responsible, more and more responsible for our thoughts.
Yes.
Because they can get pretty wild.
Oh, for sure.
Can't they? I mean, when we're in the midst of a pity party, you know, I mean, we can go and pull out every little thing from years and years ago and this and that.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
And you know, at the end of that, you know, in general, like I would say when I was a therapist just starting out, you know, in the 80s, you'd say, oh, you've had this release now. You know, you've had this big crying jag. Don't you feel better? You know, now you could have this big crying jag. You wouldn't have a quote-unquote release. You would just, you know, your eyes would be all bad and
right.
there wouldn't be really that movement.
Right.
At least that's how I see it nowadays.
Yeah. I agree.
Because I could say, I could go there, and then I just like go, you know what, I don't want to go there because I've gone there and I know how that ends, you know?
Yes, exactly. Exactly. And I was listening to Joyce Meyer the other day, and she talked about feelings like it really is your duty to your family, to your friends, to yourself, to keep your feelings in check. And so meaning like when something happens to you, knowing that you are taken care of by the Father or whatever, you know, you're not ruffled. Your feelings aren't ruffled.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
You're not thrown off into this big jag of feeling bad.
Mm-hmm.
I thought that was very interesting.
Mm-hmm. That is. I mean, how do I feel about that? I mean,
right. It feels a little hard.
It feels hard, and if there's no remedy,
right,
other than choking down your feelings,
right.
You know, I don't think that's what she was doing, by the way. I don't think she was suggesting that. Do you?
No, I don't.
Yeah. But I think there was this sort of, if you have a sense that you're going to go there, right?
Right.
You can go, wait a minute, now my wife or my husband, my family needs me to be this. They need me to, and maybe somehow talk your way upright.
So right,
you know, because I like that term upright because you can, you know, imagine you can lean back or lean forward because mm-hmm. you're starting to waver and feel crappy,
right?
You know, and if you can sort of talk your way back upright to yourself, and maybe say, oh, there may be a better time for me to do this, or I could tonight put this in my journal.
Right.
You know, there may be a more mature way.
In some ways, it's the intention behind it. With Abraham Hicks' work, it really is about a selfishness, not in a bad way. I mean, you should have a selfishness enough to want to feel better in your life.
Yes, yes.
Where with Joyce Meyer, it's about you have a moral responsibility to the people that you love.
Mm-hmm.
Put up a brave face, or to become...
Well, and because I think that, you know, it really is the perception.
Right. It's right? Very true, yes.
Yeah. And so I don't think that... I think it's just two different approaches.
Right.
I really do. And also to have balance, because there are times that you need to cry.
Yeah.
You need to cry and wail and hopefully, you know, do what you need to do, get it out. But hopefully it's not in front of your kids.
Right.
You know, it's yes. not, because that would be, I think, irresponsible. But, you know, it does happen.
Yeah.
And there is a time when you're going, wow, I can feel myself sort of sliding
right.
down this, you know, rabbit hole. Okay, so... and because we say, hey, wait a minute, I choose not to do that, or I don't want to go that deep.
Right.
And that's only because of experience.
Right, exactly.
You might go, wait a minute, I know how deep that could go, and I know the end of that, which is, you know, red eyes. And, you know, if it doesn't have a if it doesn't serve any good except to demoralize you, then, yeah, stop yourself.
Right.
And move on up, which is what Abraham Hicks does. And that's, I forget what it's called in psychotherapy, but I think it was like it was called like the ABC of things, and it was your action and your behavior equals the, I don't know, but there was a way that it was a certain type of therapy where you would take your emotions and move them on up.
Oh, interesting,
like that.
Yeah. Well, I mean, she talks about it being up the emotional scale, but one thing I don't, this is the one problem I had with Law of Attraction, and you can say whatever you want, but Abraham Hicks was the one that started off, I think, calling it that. Don't you think so?
Calling it the Law of Attraction?
I think so.
Yes, uh-huh.
But I have her cards here, but one of her cards says, nothing happens without me having invited in. Nothing happens without my having invited it. So when you understand the Law of Attraction, you are never surprised by what occurs in your experience. For you understand that through your own thought process, you have invited every bit of it in. Nothing can occur in your life experience without your invitation of it through your thought. That card, I have picked it up several times, has been, what does juggernaut mean?
Yeah, that's a good one. And, you know, it's a big muck-a-muck, you know.
Yeah.
It's difficult. It's tough.
Yeah, that's what that card means to me.
Mm-hmm.
That has,
well,
I love
like,
her work.
I probably had like a whole bunch of feelings as you were reading that.
Yeah, I bet you did. And we're just picking two people out, but it's been interesting talking about Joyce Meyer and Abraham Hicks, mm-hmm. or Esther Hicks, because, you know, Abraham is, first of all, not, you know, a channeled entity.
Mm-hmm.
You know, Joyce,
I'm aware of the dichotomy here,
yeah.
Julie.
Joyce, you know, Joyce Meyer talks about, is it Meyer or Myers?
I think there's no S.
Okay, thank you. I'm silly tonight. But anyway, her talking about that life effing happens.
Mm-hmm.
And sometimes she talks about through God that God can either, you know, have a revelation and things, you know, quickly, instantly
mm-hmm.
change,
mm-hmm.
or sometimes you're meant to go through things
mm-hmm.
to learn more,
mm-hmm.
to experience more, to have the revelation in time.
Mm-hmm.
And so, and I can, and then that somehow makes me feel better than this,
right.
Which is I invited it in.
Well, yeah.
My thought process
because
invited
I,
this crap
yeah.
into my environment.
I 100%, because obviously we're not, when you read that, you don't have the, you know, 10 chapters that went before that line that sort of explains how you would invite that in.
Right.
Because you know, there's got to be some, you know, it's hard for somebody just to, you know, you tell them some tragedies happen. It's sort of like when a baby dies and you say, oh, well, God wanted him in heaven more than,
right.
you know, it doesn't, from just hearing that at
it
that
serves
point,
nothing.
It just, you want to throw your cell phone through the window,
right.
you know.
Exactly.
Yeah, so, you know, that stuff has to, you can say something like that to me after you've built and built and built and built on a theory or something, you know.
Right.
And then
right.
you go, oh, okay, I see how that, you know, might be. I'm just giving them benefit of doubt right now.
Right. No, I agree.
Yeah.
I mean, like, so, like, in some ways, we need more clarification for this card.
Right. Exactly. Yes. And then it says, pull another card, because you
yeah,
need
pull
more
another card. You need another
clarification.
Well, it's sort of like the law of polarity,
yeah.
that both things exist at the same time. The,
yeah.
The plus and the minus of it, or
yes.
whatever.
Yeah.
And so then I guess as you're attracting the positive, you're also attracting the negative.
Mm-hmm. Well, I know we've only got 5 minutes, but if we just take about what we talked about last week and what has happened to our family in
right.
the last 3 months, and
right.
with Norm having his heart, you know, I hate to even say the word heart attack,
yeah.
you know, but, and all the things that we've had with the, you know, the truck and the business, and my first reaction is, how in the hell
did I attract?
Did I invite?
How did I? Yes, I'm
not attract.
How did I invite this into my life?
Yeah. You know, how did I extend that invitation? So that's what I'm saying. I'm giving the benefit of the doubt as to what, you know, the 10 chapters that went before that.
That's a good point.
That explains that.
Well, thank you for saying that, though. Thank you for putting this in perspective, because this card that I've pulled out and read to you tonight, it has made me frustrated through this whole process.
How did you come up with the juggernaut term? Did it just come to you?
It just came to me like this. What it feels like.
Wow.
A juggernaut.
Wow. I'm impressed, girlfriend.
Are you? That's awesome.
I'm impressed.
Don't be too impressed.
Okay, I won't be.
Thank you. So, as we kind of got about a few minutes left.
Yeah.
We got 4 minutes left. This week, let's try. We try.
I want everyone to have a great week, actually.
Yeah. We did want a great week, and we are going to have a great week.
I want all everybody to hear us. They can hear our voice. Let's all choose that. You know, when things maybe start going south, you know, just you can go, hey, put the skids on and go, wait a minute. I don't have to go there.
No.
I can elevate myself.
I'm choosing to have a good week this week. I'm choosing to have a good week.
I may have a hot fudge sundae.
Yeah. or maybe a chocolate chip cone, because it's only like 200 calories.
That's right.
That's okay for McDonald's.
Yeah,
it
kind of rearranges your mood.
Yeah.
You know, happy hour.
I know. Well, I had my first beer in a long, long time.
Long, long time.
Not because I have sobriety. I'm just not a drinker.
Mm-hmm.
I wish I wasn't.
You get so flushed.
I do. I feel weird.
Yeah.
And then someone goes, I never see you drink. And I'm like, well, you know, I'm having
beer.
Had beer. Bud Light was being shown all over this bar. And I'm like, I'll take a Bud Light.
Mm-hmm.
And I got down pretty quickly because I love the body. You know, I hate it when it gets warm. It's just horrible.
Yes.
And they're like, we're going to buy you a shot now. I'm like, oh, please don't. I don't need to have a shot. They're like, no, you never drink. We're going to get you a shot. I'm like, oh, that'll make me happy.
Mm-hmm.
And so I had a cherry bomb.
Mm-hmm. Which I don't know what that is.
I don't either, but it didn't taste as bad as cough medicine, but you know, it had that kind of.
Oh,
and it was a shot inside of a shot.
Yeah. Okay.
And so I took a sip, and they're like, "That's not a shot. You got to drink it down all at one time. Keep drinking." So I got down 4 sips.
I can't even imagine you doing that, and I really can't.
No, you're right.
You're just affected so easily.
And luckily, Doug was there, and he didn't drink at all. So he was like, I'll drive. And it's never an issue because both of us never drink.
Mm-hmm.
But last night, I just felt like drinking.
Mm-hmm.
And then literally for about 20 minutes, I felt awesome.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, I felt...
Really?
Like I had given myself permission to be happy.
Aww.
Happier than, like, giggly, like, beautiful, whatever.
Yeah.
Then I got it for a moment,
uh-huh.
And then I started feeling hot, and then I started feeling crabby,
and I was
tired.
And now I'm in a crappy bar.
And then exactly, and David, Doug's son-in-law, said, uh-oh, guys, she's crashing hard. She better go home before she gets too crabby.
Right, yada.
Exactly.
She's breaking bad.
It's breaking bad.
Yada, shit up, Bud Light.
And
a cherry bomb.
I was happy for about 20 minutes, and then it turned bad and ugly. But I chose to fail. I kept it under control.
Mm-hmm.
I go, I can choose to behave normal.
Mm-hmm.
And that's what I did.
Ah, girlfriend.
That's what I did.
You're so sweet.
So, everybody, before we hang up tonight, you know, you can go back to the Academy Awards if you like, but please get our book coming out the 24th on Wavering Strength.
You can order it on Amazon.com?
Must order it on Amazon. You must order it on
Amazon. You must. Okay. All right. Thank you.
It's from our Amazon. Everybody now has that Prime membership, so they get their free shipping, right?
Yeah. Whether you want it or not.
Exactly.
You get Prime.
You get Prime. Exactly. It's like, hey, you're a member. We're going to charge you $100 for Prime.
Yeah, the evolution of membership.
Exactly.
You have to be able to choose.
Not anymore. Thank you, Amazon. Yeah. So, everyone, thank you very much for being part of our show tonight. It's been a blast. I'm sorry for coughing here and there, but that's who I am, I guess.
And we honor that, Julie, because
there you go.
The show itself was great.
There you go. It was great.
It was great. It was great.